gonna hide this tape when I'm finished. If none of us make it, at least there'll be some kind of record. The storm's been hitting us hard now for 48 hours. We still have nothing to go on. One other thing. I think it rips through your clothes when it takes you over. Windows found some shredded long johns, but the name tag was missing. It could be anybody's. Nobody trusts anybody now. We're all very tired. Nobody trusts anybody. There's nothing else I can do. Just wait.
There's a summer place where it may rain or storm, yet I'm safe.
Okay, so hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
What? Do you guys plan these ahead of time? Do you talk about this on your side and just wait to kind of have me react? Or do you think of these like as you're about to talk, Nathan?
Literally as I'm doing it.
Were you running out of thoughts, which is why you went with such a bad one this time?
I was just coming up with, like, what is the dumbest thing that could come out of my face right now? Let's just say the title again. Long dramatic pause.
Just Shatner it.
Yeah, yep.
That's your Will Shatner impression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Duly noted.
I'm very good.
You're very talented.
Right. Thank you.
I don't know why you're not in the movies.
Cause I can't act. Oh, sorry, I can't read.
Neither could William Shatner, so.
Fair enough.
Just take all his parts and I'm sure you'll be fine.
It's just yes and his way through the movies.
Well, he pauses because that's when somebody tells him what his line is. Just,
someone off screen is like just gesturing wildly. Those charades off screen.
And that third person is Douglas.
Yes. What I don't understand is he has us on record doing proper intros. By now, he should have just taken one clean one. And regardless of how we start this podcast,
where's the fun in that?
Every week, like clockwork.
I imagine one day he's going to build a robot to do it. And it will just be, hi and welcome, this is Andrew. This is Damian.
He's going to borrow Google's AI learning thing and just pump 7-8 years.
What's that new
worth
thing?
Of garbage in there.
Deep mind. Deep mind.
Yeah, he's just going to borrow some of that and just punch 2 years worth of it in there. And then one day just test it out. It's just like, hi and welcome. And then deep mind will just a perfect. Yep. It's like, all right. I'm going to still do the podcast with them, but have deep mind talk. I play forever and then just erase anything that happens.
And then the AI industry will be overjoyed because deep mind would have been used for something other than porn.
Yeah.
The sad part is that I believe Google's engineers are good enough that if we actually did that, it would actually respond to me with all of the shenanigans and I'd still be upset.
Actually, it'd probably be better. I think,
yeah.
Than we are.
Yeah. better jokes.
Yep.
Like, we wouldn't get those pauses in Damien's bad intro. He would have known to commit to it properly.
Yep.
But anyways.
We do a podcast.
Moving on to a podcast. This week, we're here to talk about Alex Garland's latest film. He's the guy who brought us Ex Machina. And rumored to have directed Dread. His latest film, Annihilation, starring Natalie Portman and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
We've sent in drones and teams of people, but nothing comes back.
But something has.
You're a biologist. You served in the military.
If I knew what happened, I could save his life.
The boundary's getting bigger, it's expanding. We're talking cities, states.
You need to know what's inside. So do I.
Looks at this area in which they call the Shimmer, in which all things go and nothing comes back. And this team of five women, scientists and military, decide to go in to go and find out what's going on, because for each of their own interest. Damien,
hi.
I think you, more than anyone else on this podcast, was a pro Ex Machina individual.
Yes.
Unless Douglas would like to fight you for that title. I don't know what's going on.
You know, would I fight Damien for a title of liking a movie that I like? I don't know.
Of liking a movie more than Damien likes it. Yeah.
Douglas, we have to fight.
All right.
Douglas gives him a Domhnall Gleeson uppercut.
Challenge accepted.
I'm sorry. As much as I love Domhnall Gleeson, he did not win that movie. You know who won that movie. The fella's name is Oscar Isaac.
Yep.
When he danced his way into our hearts.
And he's back here again for Annihilation.
Yes, he is.
Not so much dancing, but, you know, he's here. Damien, how did this movie play for you?
I love 80% of this movie. The end is... the end is garbage. Yeah, it's
I remember
a bad end.
I remember thinking, as I was getting... As the movie finished, another movie popped into my head, and that movie was Lucy. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, I think so.
With the Black Widow.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, Lucy.
Isn't it Lucy? Am I...
Yeah, Lucy.
Is it right?
I thought you said Lucy for a second.
She became the world at the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You remember we both agreed that, you know, up to a certain point, it was a decent movie.
Yeah, I was with them, and then it collapsed.
It 2001 the fuck out of that thing.
End of this movie is, I mean, it is, it's really bad. Like, it's straight garbage. And I was worried towards the end, because I'm like, once I started explaining what the Shimmer was, I'm like, all right, so we're going to get to the end and what? But because she was the only one that made it to the end, and I mean, this is kind of spoiler territory, but who cares? The thing that happens at the end should just be cut from the movie. Like, she should get to the center of the Shimmer.
And then blow up?
No, and then they cut to her outside. And then the movie should end. And you just go, well, I don't know what just happened, but I guess... I guess they won? I don't know. I don't know. I don't care anymore.
Got the rest to the of middle movie, of the maze.
Yeah. The rest of this movie is good enough for me to forgive them not having that. Just go, we ran out of money. Just call it a day. But, so, the Shimmer is a thing that has come from outer space. And, I mean, if you've seen the trailer, you get the general idea. It is changing the genetic makeup of everything inside of it. And people keep going in but not coming back. And once the movie...
It's the Roach Motel.
Yeah. Idiot. Once the movie really kicks off in earnest. Because there's some preamble where
Oscar Isaac shows up and she goes to the base and talks to the doctor for a hot 10-15 minutes. But then they enter the actual shimmer and shit starts to go sideways immediately. And that is the part of the movie that is fascinating. There, his ability to warp the environment, the creatures, to really give you a sense of peril the entire time they're going further and further in, and showing you that the people who have gone on this mission are teetering on the edge, like they knew what they were in for but not really, and just the sense of panic. Like the first thing that happens once they enter the shimmer is that they fall asleep, and then they wake up and they're like, listen, we've burned through 4 days worth of rations, and I can't remember anything that happened after we entered the shimmer. So something is up. And you're like, all right, that is the perfect, like, what the hell is happening to begin with. And then they just push forward and none of their equipment works, none of it. And they keep finding bits and pieces from other expeditions in. And it was all building to something. And then the thing that it built to was a complete letdown. Which is why I think this movie might be the first 2018 candidate for a Damien cut. I think I can fix this movie. But if I ignore the ending, this movie was fantastic. Problem is, the movie ended and me and that ending were not, like, I've read people who had problems with the ending of The Arrival. They're just like, this bullshit is too stupid to make any sense. And I can see their point of view, but
they're wrong.
I still, like, the ending was, it worked enough that I went, all right, yeah, I can see where people would have some real issues, but it's fine. The rest of the movie more than makes up for what is kind of a lackluster ending in some people's eyes. But with this one, I am on the side of, I can't imagine anyone saw the ending of this movie. I went, yeah, you know, this movie is fine. I like all of this movie through and through, and it is, it's disappointing because as they get towards the end, they start losing members of the party. But the final two members just disappear. One goes off on her own, and then one walks in front of Natalie Portman's character and is never seen again. There you go. I don't know what this is, but I'm sure they'll make some attempt to explain it when they get to the end. But then once you see the thing at the end, you're just like, none of this, it doesn't feel how I wanted it to feel. It feels slapdash towards the end. You can see that they spent $1 zillion with some CGI bullshit, but that isn't what I wanted from the movie. And so the ending is really disappointing, but outside of that, I really did enjoy this movie enough that I'm probably going to spend the time over this upcoming Easter holiday and see if I can make some creative edits to this movie and make me a better movie.
Yeah, Douglas.
Yeah, so I agree to a certain extent with what Damien is saying, except that I do not feel as vehemently as he does about the ending. The ending was definitely the weakest point of this movie. But the movie itself is a fairly serviceable, it's a pretty good exploration movie, like a good, it almost to a certain degree reminded me of things like movies like Monsters, you know, where you're walking through this, call it alien or foreign land, and you, the viewer, are actually seeing a lot of these things for the first time. Whether or not the characters are is almost irrelevant, but this time they are also, they're with you on the journey, right? They're used to the real world as you are. excuse me. And I really love when they first went into the Shimmer and they miss the days, right? So it's not even like, so the way Damon describes it is a little bit off. It's not even like you see them walk and they go to sleep. You literally, and they cut it so well.
Yeah.
You see them all going. Natalie Portman is the last to go into the Shimmer. And then they cut to Natalie Portman waking up and coming out of the tent. And you feel disoriented because of the way that they open it. Because I actually remember, I can't remember what it was, but maybe it was the lighting of it. Mm-hmm. But for a little while, I didn't realize what it was. I thought that something had happened to the tent or something like that. And then you realize, wait, it's just the zipper.
Right.
And it was, the door was kind of half open. And you get out and she actually says, I have to orient myself. There's something up. And everybody then explains to her, yes, apparently we've been here for 4 days. Mm-hmm. But do you remember anything? Because yeah. we don't. And they say,
we don't remember building
camp.
Exactly. essentially, they remember what we saw, yeah. which is perfect.
Yeah.
Right? That's a perfect way to get you into that mindset. Right? Sometimes what people will do, and it's annoying as fuck, is to almost let you see everything and then say to you, we don't remember.
Yeah.
So, but you know.
Yeah. You, the audience, know.
Right. So, in this scenario, you have to figure things out with them as well. And, of course, it's fun to see an alligator with 20 layers of teeth.
Yeah.
And
alligator shark.
Yeah. And the badassery displayed by Natalie Portman when she murks that thing is just it's great. But yeah, this movie, it's, you know, it is what, except for the ending, what Alien should have been. It is a velociraptor
But you mean Alien Covenant? Picking them,
sorry, yeah, Alien Covenant.
Oh, okay, I just wanted to make sure they're not besmirching.
Yeah, yeah. We both agree that Alien and Aliens are great movies.
Okay,
right,
you caught me off guard.
Yeah. So yeah, this is what Alien Covenant should have been. This was the proverbial velociraptor picking off these people one by one. And they did it great. And they did it within this... It wasn't even that artsy, right? Like, I could have... I almost wanted it to be a little more abstract, you know, for the flowers to look a little more cartoonish.
Yeah, everything else to be... more weird.
Exactly. But it did do its job and it was great, and I did enjoy the movie most of the way through. The ending I think was a little bit weak, but I feel like I really want to watch it again to try and forgive the ending. I really want to like this movie. This movie
is
pretty good.
The highs were so high.
Mm-hmm.
That watching that ending made me doubt whether or not I liked the first part of the movie. Which is unfair to the movie. Because I know that... And what I did to prove it was... Because we had so much time. I watched the movie...
I didn't have a lot of time.
No, I know. I watched the movie again.
Yeah.
But now I knew where the ending was. So I just stopped. As soon as she got to the beach, I'm like, stop it here. Do you love this movie? Yeah. Yeah, I love this movie a lot. I like everything about this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, just in my mind, remembering what the end was, like, that end doesn't belong in this movie.
Yeah. And I don't know how well they actually do this, how well they link together the pre and the post story, right? Mm-hmm. They have this this line, this storyline that goes kind of in parallel with what's actually happening, which is you get a little bit of insight into Natalie Portman's relationship with her husband and what's going on there and what led up to him leaving, which in turn led to her going to where she is. And I'm not sure if it is that I just like the rest of the movie enough to forgive it or if it actually did work with the movie. But I remember thinking to myself, I shouldn't really like this, but not caring, just liking it anyway. So that's, you know, a good sign for the movie.
Yeah.
I really did like this movie.
Right. They took their time to show you what their relationship was. They took their time showing, because it is established early that she made it out and she's now retelling the story
from
to
like
the
day
people.
One.
Right.
Yeah.
And
or minute one.
So you know she makes it. And so there's never any real worry that she doesn't. But all of that is layered on and it is told kind of in sequence. And you see all of the things that happen to them. And it is fascinating throughout. Watching the environment change. Watching the creatures change. Watching how the incentives that all of them had to go in is kind of flipped on its head once they're actually inside and dealing with the situation on the ground. Like, all of it works. Like, it feels basically what Douglas said. It feels tense, like what you expected Alien Covenant to be. Like, it is strangers in a strange land, but they're not safe. The environment is physically attacking them. And you're like, all right, how do these people survive? And what is this thing that is haunting these people? And it is the resolution of that. So that is why, like, I sound so bitter about the end. Because the rest of this movie, I like a whole lot. And then the ending doesn't hold up its end of the bargain, which I kind of thought that was going to be the case. Like, as the movie progressed, I'm like, they're going to show what this thing is. And I don't know if they can pull it off. And they couldn't. And so that was just a lot disappointing for me. But the rest of this movie is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, you may now vomit your rainbow.
My rainbow?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Your rainbow of love for this movie.
I love this movie. I love this movie a lot. I actually really like the ending as well.
And with that, we've come to the end of...
It only took us... How many episodes are we? 280-something for us all to be like, yeah, we're done.
Forever.
And we're going to get to talk... I'm definitely going to want to talk specifically about the ending because I'm curious to find out what really didn't work for you, even though I think I can guess other than science fiction shit, right? Because I like that you guys keep mentioning Alien Covenant because I didn't really think of this movie in the way of alien films, if except for one aspect, which is that in this movie, we have a character by the name of Anya, played by Gina Rodriguez.
Yes.
And I don't know what it was, but every time I saw her in the movie, I kept thinking of Vasquez in Aliens.
That is because you are racist.
I really love this movie. Like, you guys talked about the world and just seeing them move around it, all the ways that this movie twists its own story. We didn't even talk about all of the flashbacks that we get talking about Natalie Portman's character before going into the Shimmer. During that time of period where Oscar Isaac is missing, unknown as to where he is, and we find out things about them. What I loved about this movie more than anything else is I felt throughout this movie that this movie was a was a movie of just showing us this world and showing us these characters. So Douglas mentioned that moment where you see Natalie Portman shooting down the crocodile shark, whatever we want to call it. And it was that click moment where I don't remember if the movie actually told us beforehand that she was in the military.
It 100%
did. It did. Okay. Yeah.
They both were in the military.
But like when that happened, like you kind of see the whole crew just kind of scutter around, not sure how to act, and then you just see Natalie Portman fully composed deal with the situation in a manner where you're like, oh, she's like legitimately a badass out of this crew, and it felt really cool to see it like that. Like there's so many movies where they tell you for 5 hours that no, all he needs is a pencil, and then not to besmirch that movie, but just the idea of it that they're just like telling us, and then eventually when they show us, it kind of doesn't feel as profound to kind of see the person in the act of just being badass. But seeing that moment in such a simple moment, it's not like this this large choreographed action scene, but in that moment I'm just like, my brain just went, oh, she's badass, and I love that about the movie. I also loved the feeling with this movie, so much so that when I watched this a second time, I went into it with this idea of what do all of these people represent. I mean, we have that scene where one of the characters are basically telling us about everyone's quote-unquote damage. Right. That's brought them into the shimmer. We already know Natalie Portman's thing, right? The fact that she wants to save her husband, who is bedridden, for lack of a better word. And as we go throughout this movie, and it becomes, if you want to call it that, a typical horror movie where they're just picking off people one by one, you kind of get a feeling for how each person goes, right? And it tells it felt almost like this concept of our characters dealing with the issues in themselves. So the movie starts with Natalie Portman talking about cancer cells and wanting to save her husband, and so much of this movie, I don't know if it's just me looking too hard into what's showing on, but the ways in which each of these characters goes, Gina Rodriguez with that battle cry, you have Tessa Thompson in this calm manner, everything felt like the stages of grief. Like, it felt all internal to me. It didn't feel like just, oh, another character went away and we can just say, now we're down to two. Right? The movie felt like it wanted me to think about all of these aspects of it. And I really appreciated it. The one thing I will say about this movie that I was not a big fan of, is Tessa Thompson's character. Out of all of the characters in this movie, she felt like the least interesting. Like, she was just there. She was the equivalent of an action movie's tech guy. Mm-hmm. Who you just see pop up and be like, oh, I've got technology. And then they go away. I've solved your problem with technology. And then they go away. And later in the movie, in the next scene, you see them die. And I mean, I think she has a few more moments, but for the most part, like, it really didn't feel like much for her.
Careful what you say about Tessa. She wars on everyone. She will war on you.
She's also a Valkyrie.
She is also a Valkyrie.
Right? So don't play with me. Don't play with me like I don't like Tessa Thompson. I'm just saying her role in this movie was not as heavy as I would have preferred, knowing Tessa Thompson.
Actually, I'm not sure if I really rate her like that yet. We'll see. Hopefully she does stuff that I see that
she was in War and everyone.
that's really what I have at the moment.
She also was in Creed.
In a comedy.
I rate her
that
supremely.
That does not... I don't rate her for that either. I love all three of those movies, but yeah.
What if I told you she was in Creed 2?
then I would also probably like that movie.
I'd watch War and Everyone again. Yeah.
But yeah,
I love that movie too much.
I really enjoyed this movie. And I'm glad to hear that we're all mostly positive as to what's going on here. But I think, unless there's something you guys want to talk about, I want to kind of get into the specifics of the ending.
Sure.
Right. So, for all of you listening, go to Netflix and go and watch this, if you can. If you can't, it means you live somewhere where you can go to the theater and watch it. So go and do that, and come back. So at the end of this movie, as Damian is professing his hatred, they reach the lighthouse, and there is a scene with Jennifer Jason Leigh, which I won't really get into, but there is eventually a scene where she interacts with what we are guessing is the thing that created the Shimo. This,
it looks like a 90s CG VR.
Yeah. It's like this ball of a thing.
Fear level bullshit.
And then eventually this humanoid copy that has this freaky scene, as far as I'm concerned, with Natalie Portman. We eventually also discover the result of Oscar Isaac as to the fact that he's also had a copy and he probably died in the Shimo. The thing about this scene for me that I love, so the Jennifer Jason Leigh part I'm not talking about. Like, that part I'm not going to defend. The way she goes, like, it seemed strange to me. Like, talking about the five characters and the way they die and how it ties to the stages, like, she felt like the kind of thing where they could have had her scene exactly as they wanted it, but not with, like, the light expunging thing that ends up happening, where it felt just almost like they wanted to mash together things because they didn't want to have another 10 minutes in the film. Like, they were like, all right, we want her to die and have this monologue scene and have her knowing what's going on, but we also want this cool sci-fi light thing going on. And that I'm not really going to go to because that, whatever. But when we get to the copy scenes, right, with Natalie Portman and her copy and this, what I like to call the Green Man from It's Always Sunny. That's what I think of. I actually really love that scene. And it's not really because I'm going to tell you that this scene meant this to me, right, or anything like.
It's because you like the Nutcracker, right?
I love that scene.
You like interpretive dance.
Yeah, I love interpretive dance.
Okay.
I like that scene because everything that plays out in that scene just feels right. Like, all throughout this movie, as we're going through, the thing that kept us going is the fact that something is off, right? Regardless of, like, CGI greatness, like, we haven't even talked about probably my favorite thing in this movie, which is the bear in this movie. Oh my god, I love that bear so much. And I love
you
that
mean the Tyrannosaurus bear.
Yeah. And that idea of the bear that, like, as he roars, what he roars is the screams of that person he killed. Like we don't talk a lot about horror films and the things that actually frighten us out of horror films, but that...
that shit is one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen in any movie.
Yeah, that was fucking horrifying.
Yeah. But just the sense that there is a... Like, that is what whatever this thing is doing to the environment. It's like, this... Whatever this thing is the worst thing in history. If it creates a bear with a skull face that screams the last thing that its dying victim said, I don't know what it is doing or why it is here, but it sucks and we have to kill it.
So the thing for me is throughout this whole movie, kind of like general suspense movies, the thing that keeps you in it is the tension throughout the whole movie. And the tension of this movie is that whole idea of something is off, we're trying to discover what's going off. And then when we get to that end where we're like, oh, it's just an alien and it's doing copy things, then you end up in this copy scene where Portman and the copy are mirroring each other. And just everything about it just gave me that queasy, uncomfortable off feeling where you're like, and we can talk about how weirdly it ends with the grenade solution, right? But
solve every problem.
Yeah, grenade solve every problem.
It's like Bugs Bunny handing Elmer Fudd.
Yeah,
it's duck season. No, it's quick bunny question. Season.
It broke through the atmosphere, at which point it would have been on fire. And yet,
Damien, I'm not playing with that now. Don't do that right now. Fire? Don't do it. We could fire. We could come up with 1,000 reasons to allow it, but let's not go there.
Yeah, but right? Any reason you come up with is wrong. Fire.
Yes, fire burns up people in spaceships that come through the thing, anyways. But fire. Guess what? The person is still alive, anyways.
Think about it, right?
Uh-huh, right.
So it would have gotten really hot in the atmosphere, uh-huh, sure.
Right.
But It didn't get any grenades thrown at it. That's big difference.
Fair enough. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
when you put it that way.
But being in the scene after all of the movie we've been through, mm-hmm, right, with just that tension and that just oddness to it, like, the scene played great for me. Like, just watching this, like, there's a part of it that looks bad 90s CG, but there's another part of it that kind of looks like weirdly cool. I don't know how to really explain it.
Dirty hippie.
But I really love the design of that character, especially when you see things like she shoots it and you see those ripples, not so much ripples, but you see the bullet kind of create like threads outside of him. Like, it was just really cool, just weird science fiction craziness. And I appreciated it heavily. Like, it was one of those things where you watch that scene. It's that scene almost played like just watching someone fear for what's going on and seeing them just try to figure out what to do. And then more importantly, when the whole movie's done, right? I don't know if you guys came to your own decisions as to whether Oscar Isaac is a copy, whether Natalie Portman is a copy, or whether the purpose of this whole thing was just to embed whatever DNA shifting nonsense into their bodies to then propagate outside, almost like a...
This is Counterpart the movie.
I was thinking more of Body Snatchers.
Same thing.
And it just worked for me. It was just...
Actually, that's one of the reasons why I didn't like this movie as much, is especially in the very end. I think it's a given, and unless one of you guys want to fight me on this, but I think it's a given that Oscar Isaac is not Oscar Isaac, right? Mm-hmm. But then they do this thing that a lot of sci-fi movies want to do, and some people do it well, some people don't, right? Mm-hmm. I fucking love Inception, and Inception does exactly what this movie does.
It stares at the cap. Stares at the bottle top.
Which is essentially, it says to you, are you sure though? Yeah. So hold on. Not only, I'm remembering now, not only does it ask the question, essentially, like metaphorically or by showing you what it shows you, Oscar Isaac literally asks, by the way, are you a real person or not? And she doesn't answer. Right, there's this weird sci-fi glow in her eye. You have to decide, is she or isn't she? Shimmer. And, you know, it's... come on, guys.
God, I hear the ending of this movie.
That's just dumb. But, you know, is it enough for me to hate this movie? And no. I don't think so. This movie is great.
Like, the thing with it coming to Earth, Amber, that's just a stupid joke. Mm-hmm. For, like, I ignored all of that. Of course, they had to kill it somehow. Kill it with fire, of course.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Yeah.
I need to watch that movie again.
I'm not sure what I wanted to be inside of that thing once they got to the lighthouse. But what I know is that what is actually in there is not what I wanted. The bit with Oscar Isaac killing himself and you see the replacement come around, that I will keep in my cut. But everything once they crawl into the butthole or whatever that thing is.
So, hold on. What
it's
is
just trash.
I'm going to propose a director's cut here for you, right? Let us say, you know, the whole movie goes on. Mm-hmm. You watch Oscar Isaac die. Da, da, da. Then Natalie Portman walks into the hole, right? She goes into the hole. There's blackness. And that's where you cut it.
Mm-hmm.
And you follow... The next scene is, just pick one, one of the scenes from the Scarlett Johansson movie where she's walking into the water.
Yes.
Oh. I don't know if you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Under the skin.
They look the same.
They do.
I actually watched that movie recently. I still love that movie.
Oh, fuck that movie.
Once they describe what the thing was doing, like it's reflecting everything, right? Mm-hmm. And because you saw what it did to that first soldier that they cut open.
Let's get our physics right.
Yes.
It's not reflecting.
Uh-huh.
It's refracting.
I mean, well, guess what? Go refract yourself.
The angles are different, okay?
You're talking to the wrong person. I got close. Just no angles in a close. Like, I wanted... Either the thing was trying to build a new world. Like, the thing needed to be active in some way. It should have been actively doing something. Either it is building a new world and everything else is incidental. Like, it is out of its control. Or it is actively trying to kill everybody. Like, trying to turn this world into its own world. But for it to be nothing... And for that CG bullshit to be down there. And then for it to... Like, why is it preventing people from leaving? Like, none of it lines up once you get it. Like, is it that no one is making it to the lighthouse? Because you see a lot of dead... You see a lot of skull and bones and whatever.
Yeah, that's what it is. Not very many people get there, so they're lonely. Right. So when you reach, they don't want you to leave.
Right.
They just want you to stay with them and play games or something.
What is this thing? And they try and like hand wave it away. They're like, maybe it doesn't even know what it's doing. But listen, this is a movie, right?
This is a movie with answers.
Yeah.
To questions.
It's no time to be coy.
It's the upgraded Terminator.
Right. You created a skull-faced bear monster that cries human cries. You don't get to phone it in. The monster before the end can't be your best work. That bear thing is so good that you're just like, if you guys have come up with this, then only God knows what the mind that created this horrifying nightmare would come up with at the end. And for the end to be that.
Yeah.
If at the end it was a xenomorph, I'd have gone, bingo.
What happened is, Damien told me what happened.
Yeah. This movie was made for the fans.
The bear, was fired immediately.
He died. Not died, sorry. He quit like 2 days before the end.
That's what he came up with. And they're like, we have to put you in a mental institution. You've lost your motherfucking mind. Like, no, we're going to use this. Because this is the most horrifying thing. But you can't be around human people anymore. We've already called the people. You're getting padded walls and a straitjacket. Because you're out of your mind. The hell is this bullshit? Andrew, like, in video games, in movies, in everything, there's supposed to be a progression. And at the very end, it can't be the weakest part. Shark alligator? Check. Bear monster? Check.
It's
worms.
Tyrannosaurus rex.
Tyrannosaurus rex.
Okay.
Check.
People flowers.
Trees growing into human form? Check. And then there's like, all right, we're at the end. Let's see what the lunatics that have come up with all of this are giving me. And Sphere from the 90s. Like, fuck this movie. This movie's garbage. It's a garbage movie. And no one should watch. The end is just, like, it really did feel like they just went, guys, we are out of ideas. So, I don't know. Like, they could have taken a monster from Men in Black. Like, something. Give me something that is actively doing anything. Right? Give me the ink monsters from Arrival. Just anything but what this thing is. And I get that you like the scene where she's the copy is mimicking everything about her. Fine. But the resolution to that is so dumb.
The fire itself?
No, her tricking this thing into taking. So, like, if it was mimicking everything she did, then it wouldn't have accepted the grenade at any point.
Yes, it would.
Why?
No, you're supposed to say no, it won't.
Oh, okay. No, it won't.
Yes, it would.
No, it won't.
Yes, it would.
No, it won't.
No, it won't.
Damn it.
That's like, the logic. It's the Bugs Bunny logic.
I'm not going to lie. There's a
space. Can it still catch fire?
I'm not going to lie. Like, that whole section with the grenade kind of thing, like, it does play very dumbly.
Yeah.
But there's,
like, the word dumbly.
Dumbly, right? Yep. It is an adverb of dumb.
Yep.
And it's how I end my sentences with adverbs.
You should write an English book. You shouldn't sell it. Oh, for Christ's sake, please don't sell it. But you should write one.
In all your dumbly words with dumbly. But
I don't care if Google says dumbly is a word.
Meaning foolish or ignorant.
Yeah.
Yes, this I succeeded.
Was occasionally used in Middle English.
ye of no faith.
Yes. I'll lump it in with the these and those.
Thoust.
Yes.
The thing about that whole ending for me is when it comes to the grenade. It's a thing that makes me that kind of affirms the way I feel about the, as Douglas puts it, the dumb ambiguous science fiction ending when you see the shimmer in her eye, the question of who's real and who isn't and what the alien's real purpose was, right, and the purpose not being to have the copy escape and whatever, but to just affect her, right? And I agree that the grenade passing thing is a poorly executed solution to their being like, well, we finished the movie, we should burn down this place. But
Andrew, at the very end, they're just like, I came out because I had to. Yeah. I almost kicked the TV.
Yeah.
The thing for me with this movie, and you guys say it about a lot of other movies for you, is the movie had earned so much currency with me that for those few pieces.
That is why I will edit out all of this bullshit.
Yep. And so, okay.
Enjoy my movie.
Let's go down this rabbit hole a little bit. So the thing that you can kind of do, right, if you really want to try and light this movie all the way. Mm-hmm.
Is cut it where the bear monster is murdered.
Let's not even go there, right?
And
I think this is a type of conversation that Garland maybe wanted people to have. Mm-hmm. Is
why are movies bad?
Is to say, for instance,
because they don't make Dread 2.
Let's take the position that Portman is actually not Portman, that she got switched. Yeah, right?
Cool. Who gives a shit?
I know, but let's say we take that approach. That would mean then you can now kind of retcon this. First of all, you retcon the whole movie, but the at least that last bit where we are saying, oh, that don't make sense. Why would she just accept the grenade all of a sudden? You start to think to yourself, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Of course it doesn't, because that's not exactly what happened. Right? And she's here under false pretenses. Right.
There is also, and I'm sure this part would be even more upsetting to all of you, the conversation that happens in the front half of the film, where she's talking to Jennifer Jason Leigh about her husband, Oscar Isaac, and why he went into the Shimo. And she kept asking her about things to the effect of why would he go on a suicide mission, and she keeps saying, you're mixing up suicide with self-destruction.
Yeah.
And we could kind of walk that into this conversation, but hey, that's just me kind of throwing that in the room and hoping no one shoots me.
If the ending felt earned, I would be willing to entertain all of these conversations. Yeah. But that ending sucks. And at the end of the movie, when the shimmer thing came into her eye,
Shimmer is actually a word.
Yes.
Right? But whenever we're using it, it sounds like
teenage girls.
Oh my God.
when the glitter was in her eye.
Hey, leave Mariah Carey alone.
I feel like whenever we say shimmer, we should say it like, and she went into the shimmer.
Shimmer. Jazz hands.
Are you doing it like you're Shia LaBeouf? You're like, the shimmer.
He can't see us.
No. I don't know how Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I don't. And let us never speak of Shia LaBeouf again. I don't think he'll ever be in movies again, so we'll be fine.
I mean, we could watch American Honey again.
In a movie?
Incorrect.
No?
No. I kind of want to watch that movie.
He's John McEnroe. That movie looks like it could be okay. Yeah.
But it doesn't go well with the joke I'm trying to make. So stupid idiots. Hate you.
I'm sure he'll come back for Transformers 7.
I have to tell you, I have some time. I have some time for him. Like, depending on the type of movie. Like, I really have to... decide that it's
but
I think
problem with Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, he was in Garbage and then he was in Holes. And I'm like, oh yeah, he can act. And
I've
then
never
he,
seen Holes.
And then he
you
came.
Guys,
no,
like,
Holes is pretty good. Like,
play out that movie.
No,
crazy.
Listen, what you need to understand,
or
he
dumbly.
Was in Disney. Yeah, he was in Disney Trash.
Yeah.
And then to see someone who was famous for being in like Disney TV shows actually do any kind of acting, you're like,
yeah,
holy shit, he's an actor.
Yeah.
And then he came in Transformers movies like, oh no, we were wrong. we got. And then it's a whole, listen, anyone that what's his face, Lars, if Lars calls you, you're a real actor, right?
I forgot about that.
Exactly.
And I agree with that 100%.
Lars doesn't call people who can't act. If he calls you, that is all the verification you need as an actor. He's like, holy shit, Lars, what? I'll do anything in this movie. I don't give a shit. But listen, I wanted to love this movie as much as you love it, Andrew. And I suspect, given enough time and editing... I will love this movie as much as you love it. But the ending is... Because the ending, there's no clean cutoff point, is my problem. And it feels cheap to end it where Baranosaurus Rex is. Because that is not the ending. That's not the conclusion of anything. Right? That's a good movie. But that's not where it's supposed to end. And put like as he comes up on the screen, put like a title card. Final boss.
I secretly hate both of you right now.
But then it's not a suspense movie anymore. I've turned this great movie It's one of the greatest comedies of all time.
But that's the perfect...
The movie ends... No, it's perfect for me. What if someone comes over like, I've heard of Annihilation. It's happened before. Someone thought they were watching The Matrix one day and they're like, this is not The Matrix. But you're goddamn right. It is better.
So I guess we can move on. We can't top that. Can't top it. Just move right on.
Oh, I love that. That's the one dumb joke that came out of this movie.
Mm-hmm. All right, so moving right along. This week, we also wanted to talk about the Oscar-winning Best Picture film.
Oh my God.
Guillermo del Toro's Shape of Water. This is a movie which 2-3 months ago I dubbed as my favorite movie of 2017. And this is now that time of the year, 3 months after, where Damien and Douglas remind me that I'm wrong.
So,
all right.
Oh, really?
No, I figured this, out quickly when I realized, wait, Damien keeps saying he wants to talk about this movie, but won't pick it for his pick. He doesn't want to, quote-unquote, waste his pick. You know what this is? This is a moment where they want to just shout at me. All right.
This is great. So here's what we're going to do. Yes. We're going to adjust my expectations a little bit, but we're still going to at least start off with where I wanted to do.
Cool.
Now, I'm not going to review this movie.
Okay.
Damien, you're not going to review this movie.
Fine.
Andrew, you are going to defend this movie.
Yes.
This podcast is defending your life with your favorite fucking guy.
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks.
I love that movie.
Right?
Can I defend
you
that movie?
You're defending this shitty movie.
Yeah.
You're defending Sex with Fish.
Yep.
I don't know what the problem is.
Your opening arguments.
My opening arguments. Fish sex. I don't know what the problem is.
Yes.
So, I adore this movie.
So we've heard.
And I love this movie because it's a playful fantasy romance movie. This is a movie which is like a CIA spy movie, as you're looking at Michael Shannon and Michael Stuhlbarg go at it, dealing with the way that they go on, like all of their characters just play off like these crazed 60s G-men, where Michael Shannon is the best version of Michael Shannon I love. I know that we want to talk about films like what's that movie you love, Damien, where he goes crazy?
No, don't bring any
where
of
he
my
goes
movies
crazy.
Into this.
Like, I just want to name it.
Absolutely not.
The Panic in the Attic.
Take shelter. Like when
The Panic in the Attic is so good, I have to give it the actual name of the movie.
Like when people talk about Michael Shannon, they love to talk about Take Shelter, but I love Michael Shannon when he is just wildly over exaggerating everything about himself.
Yep.
Or
his chewing scenery.
Right there. I think for a long time I was on board with the HBO show Boardwalk Empire. And I think 90% of that was Michael Shannon just going wild in that show. And he kind of flexes that muscle in the perfect way with this movie. There's the scene where he is torturing the fishman. There's a scene in which he is torturing Michael Stuhlbarg. There's the scene in which he's kind of torturing his wife, which is one of those weird out of left field scenes where you just like you see it start and you're like, this is supposedly a wholesome family, but Michael Shannon is a monster, and then it turns and you're like, oh, this is a crazy family, and it just plays as a weird, not so much critique, but just oddity of the picturesque American family of the 60s. I mean, it's not hard to see that this movie is a movie that plays towards others. It's a movie in which the protagonist is a mute woman. Her best friend is a black woman.
just racist.
the her neighbor is Richard Jenkins, who is a gay individual, a closeted gay man who was fired from his job as an artist probably for being gay. That's kind of what it implies, even though it doesn't really say it out loud. And
no, I think it's because one day he went without his wig and they said, "What? We did not hire a bald man.
We hired a man with perfect hair." And
it is a toupee.
And even Michael Stuhlbarg, who plays a Russian spy but is in love with science and the idea of this he wants to go to space. Like, this movie is a movie that plays with that, not so much plays, but is the idea of others coming over monsters. All of these characters, which in movies of the time would have been the quote unquote monster that's coming after your American life, In this movie, it's completely turned around, where the guy, Michael Shannon, who plays the typical role of the hardworking American spy trying to keep all American values great, he is the monster, and everyone else is just these great people just trying to save the world from said monster. And I just love the style of this movie. I love the playfulness to it. And that includes... wait for the throw up and angering noises from the other side of the call, the scenes in which they kind of play toward musicals, including one scene in which we actually go to a musical moment of Sally Hawkins and a fishman dancing. I just love everything about this movie. This movie, like, actually, the one thing I would say, doing our general like update to 2017 lists, I'd probably give Call Me By Your Name over this movie now that I've watched the two of them again and have my way about them. But still, I love this movie nonetheless. Right? Now, Damon and Douglas, I am sure that the court will admit that I have failed in your views to sway you in any way. But at the same time, I would very much like you to explain to me, other than, you know, fish fucking, why you really dislike this movie.
I find you guilty of liking bad movies. Andrew, I will sum up the horrid nature of this film in three words. Guillermo del Toro. Okay?
It's a pretty strong argument.
It is. Now, here's the problem that I have with him. He makes bad movies.
All right.
He truly is
the Guillermo del Toro.
he truly is the embodiment of the saying, "The exception proves the rule." Because, and you know, as much as I deep down kind of love Pacific Rim, I also deep down absolutely hate Pacific Rim. And you guys keep telling me about Pan's Labyrinth, but I have watched
that is the exception.
Every so, single so other one second, movie he's...
One second. Yeah? Damien, not talking to Douglas right now. Can I avoid Douglas's opinion since he hasn't seen Pan's Labyrinth?
On this movie, absolutely not.
All right, I was just checking if that was an option. All right, continue.
Usually, I'd be on board. I'd be on your team. But
no. But you have to... You see, for you to want me to watch something, you have to give me a reason, right? So, for instance, if you say to me, Douglas, why don't you watch Charles Bronson? And I say to you, why? You say, well, Tom Hardy. I say, okay, cool. I like Tom Hardy. Should you watch War on Everyone? Why? Mike McDonough. All right, I'm in. Should I watch any movie directed by a man who every movie I've watched is horrible? I don't know that there's a justification for that. And yet, funnily enough, I still watch them. I wasn't going to watch this one. Somebody fucking forced me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? Mm-hmm. It's as bad or probably worse than I thought it was going to be. The thing about this movie is it suffers from the Guillermo del Toro curse, which is that it is absolutely beautiful. It is so good looking. And also, because it's a period piece, and it's in a period where car design and architecture is a little bit wonky, and he's able to accentuate that and show, you know, do it with pastel colors. And this movie looks great. There is not one scene where you don't think to yourself, there's a great curve in that automobile, or the design of that monster, or, you know, there's always something in a scene to look to visually and say, this is perfection. That is all that he has. And that is all that he generally has in all of his movies, especially his monster movies. And this movie is no exception. The best I can say about this movie is that it was bland. I can say a lot worse. I really don't like this movie.
Is it my turn?
To be fair, though, Michael Shannon is awesome, but,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Also, the sun is hot.
Yeah.
Water is wet.
I don't know about the sun is hot thing. I haven't seen that for a while.
No, in places where human beings are supposed to live,
the sun is hot. Andrew, I have to tell you. So, I found that too, right? I remember thinking that it was crazy. The first time I went, I was in Ithaca, and the sun was blazing, like there was not a cloud in the sky, but it was in winter, so you could not feel it. And I didn't have this happen to me, but somebody has told me that apparently you can still get sunburn.
Oh my God.
You just won't realize it.
That is the shittiest boy.
Because it's so cold, you just don't realize it until, like, you know, it's too late.
Garbage weight. I'd be so upset. You son of a bitch.
Say yes, Damien.
Can you
Shape of Water?
Yes.
Your favorite movie of 2017 that you didn't get around to last year.
So I saw Lady in Water, right?
Shape of Water. Show it the respect.
Actually, I would prefer to watch Lady in Water.
Right. No, Douglas. Remember all those times I made the Lady in Water jokes?
Yeah.
Till I actually got him to say Lady in Water.
Yeah.
There's a specific reason I keep referring to this movie. Because I don't want to give this movie any credit whatsoever. All right. So the good. Oh, wait. I should start with a disclaimer. I said I was going to do this. Everyone worked hard. Both teams played hard. Everyone was giving it 100%.
Everybody gets a ribbon for participation.
I have one quick question. When you say both teams play hard, who's the other team? Like, I know one team is the crew that made the movie. Uh-huh. Who's the other team?
Yeah. Right. The people who are pretending to like this movie.
Because they too had to work hard.
You guys did an admirable job. This movie won Oscars and all sorts of other things. And I know nothing I say will get them to redact the Oscar that it shouldn't have won, obviously. I mean, it should have won for, like, the design things, but not the movie.
Course.
Shouldn't have won anything to do with an actual story being told. They're singing and dancing in this movie, so I already took off a mark for that, just right off the top. But the real problem with this movie is that the storytelling is poor. Like, the movie starts and they're like, all right, she's mute, fine. And they introduce her with gratuitous nudity that was like...
Where did that come from?
Like, look, oh, you have to start your morning.
I do remember. I have to say, I do remember thinking, because how old is she?
I have no idea.
I feel like she's an older woman. Maybe I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah,
I feel like she's an older woman, and I do remember thinking, boy, she looks good for her.
She's 42.
Oh, there we go. So I am an asshole. she's not that old at all.
Like, with the exception of those scenes, children can go watch this movie. There's nothing inside.
They do say fuck every once in a while,
So you see that and you're just like, the first time you see it, you're like, all right, movie, I guess you're going to make good on why this movie has started like this. And they're like, oh no, this is just her cycle. And you're just like, you guys could have skipped out the part where she masturbates in the we understand what she's doing. You can establish that a woman is lonely without that. She's boiling eggs every morning. Her life sucks. No, you've established that. She has a shitty life. But you see what Andrew like. You see the playfulness and you're like, all right, fine. You know, she has this friend and she tap dances and she goes to work and people treat her badly because, you know, she can't. Sorry, what was the word, Andrew?
Dumbly.
Because she's, right, she can't speak. Which means she's blind, right? When you can't speak, you're blind. Something like that. I don't remember. And then the movie, once Fishman is
I thought of a stupid thing to say.
Shocking. Once Aquaman enters the scene, they do nothing to establish why she'd have even attempted to be friendly with this creature. It is, the connection is just instant. She's like, oh, there's something inside this tube. It bangs on the tube and she's like, I will fuck that. Guaranteed. And then the movie just goes off. And you're like, all right. Fine. And then there are Soviets and people trying to send this fish thing into space, and we have to kill it, and like everything surrounding.
I do not remember Tim Curry in this movie.
Will Smith was in this movie. Everything surrounding her falling in love with this creature, like all of the story that they built up around it, is so stupid. Just so aggressively. Kind of like, it is as if they're like, what is the dumbest shit? What is the stupidest story that we can come up with for why this thing is here? And you're just like, alright, so he caught it in a swamp. They used to feed it flowers? Like, what the fuck?
You know, the truth is that
you want to bring it into space?
Your thing actually makes a lot of sense, because I remember hearing Guillermo del Toro talking about this movie, where people are like, obviously you loved Creature from the Black Lagoon. What made you want to do this specific movie? And his response to what made this movie was, when he was watching all those movies and loved those movies, he immediately saw that film, which I don't know if any of us have seen. I know I haven't. And
yes, I have seen it.
And he watched it and immediately went like, I want to make a movie where the creature and the woman get together. And literally he just decided to make fan fiction. And that's what this movie is. It's his fan fiction to Creature from the Black Lagoon.
What's the problem with fan fiction again, Douglas? It sucks?
Yeah.
If the listen, the acting, superb. The look of this movie, Guillermo doesn't get that shit wrong.
Richard Jenkins is good in this
movie. Everyone that is in this movie is doing their part.
Yeah.
Except the screenwriter. He's doing nothing.
You can imagine on a daily basis, somebody came and said, all right, did you mean to write these words? Or is this a typo?
Mm-hmm. why? Like, every day I just assume the cast comes and they're like, all right, we did the table read. Why? It's like, because fuck it.
Literally. Yeah. Fuck it.
Yep. And, like, all the decisions that have been made surrounding this creature, just, like, all of it seems so out of place.
And then there's a point where he becomes E.T.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And then the gratuitous nudity with the gratuitous violence. This movie is basically The Little Mermaid. Like, that is what most of this movie is. Except there's, like, nudity for no reason and over-the-top violence for also no reason. And it's like, who is this? Who is this movie for? It's not for adults. Because then you'd have leaned hard into, because you have her naked in the beginning, you'd have just kept pushing down that road. But you didn't do that. And then it's not for children, because there's things that no reasonable parent would bring to jungle. Alright, here's what. I need you to close your eyes for the first 10 minutes, and then close them again for the last 10 minutes. And you'll be fine. Like, I do not understand any of the things that happen in this movie. And it is so disappointing because everything I was told leading up to this movie. And I, like, if I had watched this movie after it won Best Picture, I'd have been livid. Like, you motherfuckers. Is this like a makeup Oscar? Like, that is what I'm like. Did you guys go, he didn't win for Pan's Labyrinth, so he finally made a movie that isn't hot trash, so give it him back. Like, no.
I feel like for Guillermo del Toro, that rule needs to be flipped. Right. So when he actually did Pan's Labyrinth, they needed to look at him and say, listen, I hear you. It's great. I agree. But you made those other ones. You're not getting anything from us.
Watching this movie a second time, I realized why it won. And especially with people like Andrew. They pepper this movie.
People who like this movie are the same people that like Wall-E. That is what happened here.
They pepper this movie, right, with so much old-timey bullshit from other movies.
There's so many things you can try and attach yourself to. But it's,
I was just like,
not good.
This is, like, the second time was when I was just like, I see it now. Like, Andrew doesn't care about the story because it can't make sense to any human. maybe to fish people. Sure as shit not to human people. But it starts and they're just like, here's a thing from Cleopatra. And here's a thing from Mr. Bojangles. And here's a thing. And here's a thing. And here's a thing. And they just keep attacking. They're just like, and this, and this. And you're just like, and then just towards the end, they're just like, how about full musical? And you're like, you motherfuckers are the most pandering, shameless people I've never seen. Like, this is prostitution. This movie is visual prostitution. This is what it is. And it shouldn't be allowed. Not in front of discerning movie goers like such as myself. Oh boy, this movie sucks. It is, like, I know it's won enough awards and enough people on the internet are falling all over themselves to like this movie. But I will say there's nothing in this movie. This movie has, even with Michael Shannon chewing on every bit of scenery, there's nothing for me in this movie. I watched this a second time just to be sure. I'm sure.
But you didn't pause the movie at the right time.
That's what
happened.
When it started. When she's naked the first time, I'm like, alright, fine. Seen enough. I think Andrew has muted his mouth. I think he's walked away. He's waiting for the bars to stop moving. Then he'll come back.
Oh, what's going on here?
I don't want to hear any of this.
You guys were talking about something? So yeah, we've agreed that The Shape of Water is the best movie of 2017. That is great.
Shape of Water is the best movie of 2017. Andrew, defend the story.
Defend the story?
Yeah. Tell me a story of what happens in Lady in Water.
A fishman is found.
Mm-hmm.
Goes into the science factory.
Right. Where they make science.
Where they make science. Michael Shannon doesn't like science. He likes cars and murder.
Right.
It's
cars and murder, all right.
Michael Stuhlbarg likes science. Uh-huh. And in the science factory, there are people who clean the science factory. That's where our protagonist comes in, Sally Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She can't speak, though. Just letting you know.
Right.
It's not that important.
For why?
From birth. Right?
Okay. For because.
For because. All like, right. It's just a thing about the character. She can't speak.
Of course.
When the fishman comes in, she sees the fishman. Right. And seeing how the fishman is treated and how Michael Shannon is such an asshole, mm-hmm. she kind of starts hanging around the fishman. Plays the fishman music. Kind of feels like, you know, me and this fishman, we're kind of friendly. Right? And then one day, realizing that shit is going to hit the fan, she decides, I'm going to help out this fishman. I'm going to free this fishman. Very much in the way you free a puppy from a shelter. Right? Because you don't believe in animal cruelty.
Right. From these puppy
shelters. And so she enacts a plan. At the same time, there's a lot of other spy things going on with Michael Stuhlbarg and Michael Shannon. And
why are there spy things?
Because it's the 60s, right? And
okay. Right.
And
everyone was a spy.
Kind of like how everyone is an assassin in John Wick. Everyone is a spy in the 60s.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's in the John Wick universe. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Like, if you look, if you squint in the corner, you can see John Wick's father. Right?
Okay.
Killing some people. But that's not really focused on screen. Right? Okay. And then... Mm-hmm.
And just like with puppy shelters, you bring home the puppy and you immediately fuck that puppy.
Yeah.
Right? That's how this works.
And so there becomes a romance and then eventually a freeing.
That's why they call it puppy.
This movie's awesome.
Some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen.
Damien, stop quoting me, Bow Wow, okay?
I thought of Little Bow Wow.
Damien.
A thousand years.
A fish man is tortured, freed, wakes up wet and hungry.
Yes.
And the first thing he does.
And horny.
Is go downstairs and watch a movie.
Yes.
That's what this movie is.
Yeah. Standing alone in a theater watching a movie. Because, of course. And he's E.T. for, again.
He's a god. Reasons. That's reason.
How do you get caught in the first place?
Because his god power's dead.
Okay. And God needs salt water.
He was peeing and wasn't paying attention.
Oh yeah, I mean it happens to the best. That's why I'm here.
He opened the shell and was not really paying attention.
Oh, so it's a ghost in the shell.
Okay. I mean that's not what he calls his penis. That's not what he calls his penis. But sure, we'll use that for the.
Okay. That part I. That was the only part of the movie, where I was just like, all right, movie. at least there's a nod to the question everybody that saw that. She's like, you fuck the fish man? And she's like, yeah. And it's like, all right, before we move anywhere, you need to explain how. And she showed her how. She said, see, you can't trust any man. I went, correct. That is correct. Andrew, I know that this movie is it fills you with joy and whimsy, but I think this movie sucks.
I do not think I like this movie. I like me Guillermo fine, right? He has one spectacular movie and then he's made trash that I like and then straight trash. But this is the first one that he's made that I just looked at and just go, nope, there's nothing here for me. Like the Hellboys and the Pacific Rims and what else did he do?
Crimson Peak?
Nothing right. else.
Oh yeah, see? I love Crimson Peak.
Sorry, what?
I love Crimson Peak.
Oh my god.
100%. But it's that not movie sucks. Great. Not great. Still, no. Jessica Chastain is in that movie.
Oh, okay. So, I forget.
I might yeah. not be operating at 100%. However, did enjoy that one. This, though, now.
Now?
The story is, it is, even by his standards, it is a little bit too stupid. And I could, no. Is it because I'm a man who cannot feel joy? It's probably true.
Is it because you don't love fish men?
That too. Don't like fish, don't like men. I knew that one. Yep. I don't know if that plays if you don't live in Jamaica, but I don't care. No fish around here. Anyways.
Damien, stop love, man.
One day. I'm working on it.
So, yes, so Lady in Water.
Yes.
Best film of 2017.
Definitely.
Cool.
Lady in Water.
Anything else anyone wants to talk about?
No. Is there anything else you want to talk about, Douglas?
No, not really.
There are two things.
Oh, watch Logan Lucky again. Guys, trust me. It's really good. Have you been watching The Soup on Netflix? Joe McHale show with Joe McHale.
I started the episode again.
Yeah.
And I still haven't finished first one.
She's the worst person in the world.
You know what I have been watching that I haven't finished yet, but mm-hmm. I'm far into it. Maybe I reach episode 10 or 9 now. Flash. It's Love.
Oh.
Andrew.
Yes, sir.
Why don't I like this television show anymore?
Because you're a bad person?
Because the first one wasn't good.
The first two seasons were great. I'm not going to say that this one is bad, but I just don't care for it.
It is the final season.
Oh, is it?
They're wrapping it up.
Mm-hmm. They, like Damien, see the error of their ways. I didn't find anything. Like, wasn't a fan of Love.
Mm.
I don't know.
It's taken me a really long time to watch Jessica Jones.
Yeah, this season was not Hard as pass. Great as the first one, but it was alright.
So, just to say, I got around to watching Isle of Dogs, the new Wes Anderson film.
I'm so happy. So happy.
That you love dogs?
I just hope that I don't have the same problem. I saw Andrew's review on Letterboxd, and it said he hated it. Mm-hmm. And I was so happy because... essentially, it serves him right.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to watch it at least 5 years before we do.
Yep.
So, how dare he like it?
Right. And so, as punishment.
As punishment.
And you can go and hear me talk about it on Rand's podcast at the Matinee.
Absolutely.
I am not going to do that. Not because I am worried about you cheating, but because I have a rule. I don't listen to people talk about movies.
I cannot watch.
You can also hear me talk about my love for Disco Santa Claus on that podcast.
I remember Disco
Santa. See, it's been a while since we brought up Disco Santa Claus.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
But yeah, didn't love Isle of Dogs. Let's leave it there. But otherwise, I have been watching this thing on Netflix. It is a anime.
Excuse me?
Because Netflix seems to keep buying anime. I've actually noticed so many shows that I remember hearing people talk highly of from last year that didn't show up, and then they're just now popping up on Netflix. And I'm like, Netflix bought a lot of anime. So Netflix is becoming a little anime hub. But there's this one show which they're actually airing weekly. I'm like catching up on it. I think I'm like 8 or 7 episodes in, called Violet Evergarden. Violet Evergreen. I'm messing up the name. Actually, I had it right the first time. I'm an idiot. No. Violet Evergarden. And it is not an action show. I think it's a story about this woman post-war, who has taken up this job to basically write letters for people who can't write. And she's going around the country. And it is probably one of the most beautiful animes I've seen in a long time. It's pretty great. I'm enjoying it thoroughly. And I expect you guys will never watch it, so that's fine.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's by... for people who care, it's by the studio Kyoto Animation, and they also made the movie I talked about last year that I loved, A Silent Voice, and that movie also looks gorgeous. That's great. Will you guys ever watch that movie? I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm going to put all my money down on it. First off, everywhere.
Next podcast pick: A Silent Voice.
Probably when I'm going to get to that.